Thank you so much, Harry. We have something here that we want to present Terry with. And to do so, I want to introduce three more people. The first is Thomas Marsh, who is the sculptor of the replica of the Goddess of Democracy statue that was unveiled a couple years ago here in San Francisco. Frank Wong, who was one of the major people who made that project possible financially. And Nick Liang, who was one of the key students in the Tiananmen Square protest originally, where the original Goddess of Democracy statue was unveiled. So it gives me great pleasure, Harry, to present this small token of our appreciation for the work that you've done, and we hope the world will learn its lessons.
The Communist Party tried to destroy the statues. They did in Tiananmen Square. Maybe sometimes in other places, but the statues will last forever. Thank you.
We have time for questions. If you could please use the microphone that's on the side here.
Mr. Wu, in view of what you said, how is the issue of Taiwan best handled by the United States? What should our attitude be, and how can we help to relieve what I think is probably a rather desperate situation?
In Chinese history, this is the first time that people have the rights, even in a small area, only about 21 million people, whatever. This is in China. This is the first time the people can select their leaders, the vote. And in China, all the time, probably until today in mainland China, the number one crime is a political crime. You never allowed to criticize the leader. But today, you can do it in Taiwan. So this is a significant progress. Whatever so-called unification, whatever you're talking about, one China policy, Taiwan is a part of China. There's no reason to force 21 million people back to the ruling of the communists. Taiwan people have the rights to choose what kind of future they want, what kind of society they like, what kind of religious, what kind of political system. Whatever they are a part of China, are not a part of China, just like the people in Quebec, they have the rights to choose. Thank you.
Mr. Wu, my name is Jeffrey Gale. I've been a journalist for 32 years, and I wanted to ask you what your feelings are about how the national news media in the United States covers the issues that you've been so involved with. Last week, right here in the Bay Area, one of the best Asian American journalists in the United States, William Wong of the Oakland Tribune, who's written about your plight, was fired by the Oakland Tribune for his viewpoints. Hundreds of people have called the Tribune, Mr. David Bergen, the editor. It's an outrage. William Wong had done front page stories for the Wall Street Journal. To me, if there's no freedom of the press here, and we're not told the truth about what's going on in the People's Republic of China, we're all doomed. And I'd really appreciate if you'd comment about what you're reading here. What are we told about what's really going on?
I'm very depressed that I heard about it, because Frank Wong is my good friend. I think they really have did a mistake, historical mistake. But I feel that, you know, today the economic power is so, you know, forcing everything to doing that. Everybody is today is talking about China in the next century will become economic giant. But they fail to mention you, whatever they mistake or they dishonest, they didn't mention to you. Economic giant also mean political giant and military giant. And this is communist giant. The West just feel kind of relaxed from the Cold War ended, from the Berlin Wall peacefully turned down. If in the next century there's another communist giant in the East, and you do have the experience from your Korea War and Vietnam War, now how you handle that? Okay. And some people try to create a kind of political idea, say, what we can do, this is a huge population country, do business with them, do trade with them, helping them develop their economy system and helping them thrive in the capitalism. Capitalism will beat socialism, communism, and China have a good future. If that kind of idea is correct, why you didn't apply the same idea to Soviet Union? Why you don't do any business with Soviet Union? Why you never allowed Soviet military company operated business in the United States? Soviet as an evil empire, as an evil communism, never received the most favored nation trading status. Why Chinese communists enjoy that? Because what? Because China is an angel communism, angel empire, or what? Tell me about it. Money. The people want to make money. And the money become the fuel, fueling the tank of the Chinese communist vehicle. I was on the crossfire in the Larry King program. One scholar say, hey, Harry, we have many things have to deal with China, not only human rights. Yes, there's a lot of issue, include weapon proliferation. I said, tell me one thing. 10 years ago, you want to make a deal to stop the weapon from China, sell it to somewhere. What kind of weapon system? And now, what kind of weapon system today you want to deal with China, stop to them to sell? And I do remember just a couple of weeks ago, Henry Kissinger have a comments. He said, hey, you have to know China is the only country can launch the continental missile to our Los Angeles. I said, oh my God, you just know about it or what? You just realized that? And what do you want to do? Do business with them? Capitalism doesn't mean democracy. Iran, Iraq is a capitalist country. There's no democracy at all. Okay. They are talking about the people become rich in China. It is true. The living condition is much, much better than before. The freedom of speech, the freedom of association is much better than before. Because the communists have withdrawn, back up, give some space for the people. The people realize, the people learn from their suffering. The people want to totally go to the direction. But the communists intend to survive. So-called bourgeois class today in China, most of them is member of the party. And all of them have relation with the power. Do you expect that kind people interested about democracy?
Harry, I have one question for you that I hope will help clarify some things for this audience. That is the issue of money And isn't it really true that the money that is being made, it doesn't even come from China, but it comes from the United States through the banks, through the government, through the IMF and World Bank, because China has no money of its own. It has no tax system. It doesn't even figure a national cost of goods of the national enterprises that includes the care, the basic care of its people. So it is when it sells goods, it is selling them for less than what it actually costs to run the plants and take care of the people and build infrastructure and so forth. Am I correct in this? Is there an enforceable tax system among the upper class, the Communist Party who own the factories and so forth, among the upper middle class and so forth that was given the licenses for privatization? Is there any means of that China has of actually having a viable currency to pay for goods?
I'm sorry, I cannot very carefully listen to your question, but so far as I know, you mentioned about the new capitalist system, so-called, the new capitalist class in China, something like that. But anyway, I can tell you one thing, is maybe I can exchange a view later with you. Today is the Western country try to put the cash in Chinese production, Chinese market. And then we have a statistic in the past 40 years, past 5 to 8 years, it's about 500 billion money from China, get out, come to United States, come to Hong Kong, come to everywhere. China have the money is coming out. And Western money is going into there. Is one day happen in China as a political crisis. Now, what about your money? Take care of it.
Well, thank Harry. And I want to thank you all for joining with us. As you can see, the issues are somewhat complex and yet quite startling. Despite economic liberalization, there seems to be an entrenched machinery, as Harry put it, that seems to be chewing people up in the interest of state power. Those of you who have not been with us before, we certainly want to invite you back, and those of you who have, we also want to invite you back for our next event. Again, I want to encourage you to pick up a copy of one or both of Harry's books. He's kindly offered to autograph copies for those who are interested. And I want to adjourn today's forum, and thank you so much for joining with us.